Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let us rock the Casbah.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Would you kindly send me the lyrics to Rock the Casbah? What were the Sharia law don't like it, so Rock the Casbah, something like that. You can send lyrics to 80s tunes or anything wretched to idea@wretched.org, or if you'd like to text, use your thumbs and dial 877-282-2337.
All right, we're going to start with a question from Jackie. Todd, I was listening to Witness Wednesday this week, and I noticed that you wrapped up a conversation with an architect pretty quickly, but you had a longer conversation with the guy you talked to next. So my question is, how do you determine when to wrap up an evangelistic conversation?
When they start to look agitated. That's one of the signs. You just play it by sense. Oh, did I use that word? Just have manners. See, they give body cues. Or they start looking at their watch, whatever it is. And or you just sense, you know, this just wouldn't be smart at this time. Just use some wisdom. Just use some common sense. Do I always make the right decision? No, of course not. But you will, if you do it more, you'll know how far you can push it. Imagine you're in a normal conversation. That's one of the most helpful things that you can do. That was one of the hardest things for me when I first started to evangelize people. It was that it was like this thing that is distinct from all other things. I'm going to have a religious conversation with you. And when I would treat it that way, it was always just kind of rough, forced. And my mind would be flying because it had to be a religious conversation. No, just have a conversation. And talk about Jesus Christ. And talk about why he is the better thing. And talk about why everything that he commands is good. There was a hymn. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God give praise and glory. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. I'll tell you, if you can get those two lines down from a hymn, you'll have more shalom. Within the kingdom of his might, every resource is fully available to him because he is every resource, everything. He's totally sovereign, totally omnipotent, and he totally cares about his children. So, lo, all is just, all is right. If you can get that simple truth, it's a big truth, but it's a simple truth, into your brain, it will help you. Did I just say brain? I hope Gifford isn't listening. If you can memorize that wherever it goes inside of your person, you will deal with tragedies better. You will not be afraid as much. You'll have more courage. You won't get political heebie-jeebies when you see that, for instance, the debt is at an all-time high. But apparently, that's no big problemo anymore. The point is, knowing that God is the king who rules and reigns sovereignly and justly brings you peace. I was on the AI machine, and I asked it, I think this was for last week's sermon. I didn't use it, but I was curious. We're talking about Jesus the king. When Pontius Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "I am." I just saw somebody, sorry, I'm getting away from the point that I got away from the point on. There was somebody, I think, accusing an open-air preacher. Hey, with this whole God thing, And when people are talking like that, by the way, it's usually not a good sign that this is going to go well. This young lady's accusation was, Jesus never said he's God. Oh, man, Scylla. He most certainly did. He just didn't put those three words together in that structure. He said it more profoundly. And one of those ways, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, that would be another. Matthew, there's at least 20 instances where Jesus proclaims his deity without saying, I am God. Nevertheless, Pontius Pilate asks him, are you king of the Jews? Jesus says, I am. So we did a deep dive into the kingship of Jesus Christ, understanding what kind of a king he is, all of the different aspects that should cause us to rest and not to freak out. And so as I was doing sermon prep for it, I asked AI the question, what form of government is best for human flourishing? You know, and it gave me a treatise on representative republic versus democracy, et cetera. And I said, if the leaders were perfect, leader or leaders were perfect, what would be the ideal form of government? Do you know what the answer was from the AI machine? Monarchy. Because if you got one guy who's perfect, all of his verdicts would be right, accurate, and just. All of his decisions would be ideal because they would be, you know, perfect. A monarchy is ideal, but only when the king is perfectly righteous. That's our king. You have got a king who never has a misstep, no scandals, no long afternoon naps. Our king is perfect and righteous and just, and he's your king right now. You don't have to wait for him to set up his kingdom on earth when heaven descends. You don't have to wait. You can live underneath his kingship right now, and you'll be singing more and more within the kingdom of his might. Lo, all is just and all is right. To God, give praise and glory, and send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
This is from Paula. Todd, just listen to your program where you use the term fungelicals.
That was Mrs. Friel.
Okay.
That was her idea.
Well, Paula's wondering, what's your opinion of VBS? It seems our youth are depending on everything being fun or they're not interested.
Yeah, I have to be careful on this one because I've got a personal opinion about it, because it's probably in response to the silliness of so many youth groups and frankly the silliness of our entire culture. I got to remove that. Is there anything sinful about a church putting on a vacation Bible school? No, not like on the face of it. Of course not. Now, what about the fun elements? Should a church be doing that? My inclination is no, because you're doing vacation, you know, Bible school, not vacation fun school. That's kind of my inclination and my bent. But do I understand, you know, you got a bunch of kids and they got energy and they're wanting to do things that are kind of fun so that they've got a good feeling about the church? Yeah, I get that. I do. And if at ABC, at Alpharetta Bible Church, if people were like, let's do vacation Bible school and we're going to have some fun stuff and we're going to teach kids the Bible, my response would be, how much are we going to be teaching the kids the Bible? Because if that's the focus of this thing, then I say, cool. Now, you can do that in different ways that are kid appropriate. You could put on little plays. I'm down with that. You could do it in the classrooms. Cool. Group thing. Whatever. But as long as the Bible is central, if you're going to have some of those other elements to just kind of help them to be in a setting like that for 2 hours and have a good feeling about the church. Okay. But it's these vacation Bible schools where the focus is the fun slide and the focus is the candy or just the arts and crafts projects. Oh yeah, we do some Bible too. That's just flipped. So am I a total curmudgeon? Not a total one, pretty much total, but not entirely total curmudgeon. But the focus should be, if you're going to do fun stuff, do fun stuff. Make sure that you give them the most important thing. They really don't need fun. They get enough fun. Western civilization is built on fun. And we don't do fun as well as the world does fun. Let's be honest. Can we just be honest about that? The church just does not do worldly things as well as the world, unless, of course, you're Stephen Furtick's church. 877-282-2337.
I think there are some churches that do a really good job making VBS gospel-centered.
Yes.
But I think a good way to look at it, if we can't answer that this would still work if all the games and prizes and music and all that stuff disappeared, then I think we're doing it wrong.
Look, there's a challenge to it, and that challenge would be the parents. Because if the kids aren't like, hey, I'm excited, we got to go to vacation because it's so much fun, that's kind of what drives so many mega churches. Well, then the parents have to say, I know you don't think it's fun, honey, but it's good for you. And we really, frankly, insist you're going so that you can learn about Jesus. I get it. You use it as an evangelistic out. I get it. But what if we encourage the parents to let us walk alongside them to pull them up and to not infantilize them further and to call them to maturity? Wouldn't that be, you know, countercultural? This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples open their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis in a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go, because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out. FortisInstitute.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1540. The Society of Jesus is approved by the Vatican. Founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit order sent out zealous missionaries throughout the world, counteracting the Reformation and bringing Roman Catholic Christianity to the Americas.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of Vacation Bible School, this is Wretched Radio. So last Sunday, we're doing one of those church info meetings, I guess is what you call them. Stick around if you're interested in becoming a member of Alpharetta Bible Church. You got questions, we'll share with you church polity, what our priorities are, etc., why we do what we do, so that you can make a good decision for you and for your family. And when we were done, a woman grabbed me by the arm, and I wasn't sure how to take this initially. And she said, "This is adult church." And my response was hesitant a little bit because I didn't know if she meant that as a good thing or a bad thing. And I said, "Yes, it is." Yeah, and thankfully, we're on the same page with that. Why? Because church isn't about fun. Church is not about amusements. Church is about worshiping the living God. Church is about coming together to deal with bigger issues than what type of joystick do you use when you play the Nintendo game. Church is where we come together to fellowship around Jesus Christ, to do the one another's with one another, to be a spiritual family. That's what we're doing there. It's not about whoop-dee-doo. And so I was encouraged that this lady, having heard our answers to questions and experiencing our church service, said this is adult church. And it got me to thinking about the kids. Do we have Sunday school for kids? Yes, we do. I think right now we're either using the Answers in Genesis curriculum, we might be using Grace Kids from GCC. I think that's what we're still using. We talked about using the AIG probably next time. At any rate, it's more serious Bible teaching. And I know that is something that might keep some families from coming to church. That is just a reality. If your church is not presented in such a way that the kids don't crab about going on Sunday morning, you're not going to grow like other places. Because there's so many parents who, is the first sign that the kids are hesitant to go to church, they're just done. If the kids complain about church, a lot of parents will just go, "Okay, well, I guess we won't go, or we got to find another place where the kids will be happy." I get that. I feel that. But rather than going down to the level of the kids, what if we brought the kids up? What if we explained to them, you know, I know that this is not as fun as a video game, but these are more important things. And we believe that if you'll plug into this and learn what God would have you to know, you're going to become more mature. You're going to understand things better. You're not going to make mistakes that you'll regret for decades. These are big things. These are important things. So, honey, we're going to church. And if you would let your church then walk alongside you at that level to pull the kids up, not to amuse them, but to teach them and disciple them, the kids will be better off for it. And so will the church, by the way. Is that a tough sled? You better believe it is. You don't have fun for my kid, we're out of here. It's right up there with music. If your music isn't my cup of tea, gone. These are the challenges that a conservative church has. So if you happen to be one of those pastors, not because you're just crabby and you don't want the kids to have any fun, which I doubt is the way anybody feels, hang in there. Be encouraged. Don't expect explosive growth. Not going to happen. And furthermore, you might have a slightly aging demographic coming to your church. But note this well, the younger generation, I'm not talking about kids and 12 and 14-year-olds. I'm talking about 18 to 24-year-olds. Guess what they want? They want something what they call sacred. They want sacred spaces. That's why there's a trend right now. I don't know how substantial, but there's a trend of 18 to 24-year-olds that are digging Gothic churches. Wow, look at, oh, I was just reading an article. It was really actually quite a well-written article. This was a young man who was an atheist, who decided they were, he was in Paris and he and his buddies decided, let's go to Spain for the catch a quick flight. And they didn't have tickets to get into anything. And so the big Catholic church was open. So they went to the big Catholic church and they actually stuck around for mass. Now, I'm not endorsing the Catholic system. The point is, he was struck by how tall the ceilings were. And it made me feel kind of insignificant. Bingo, you're getting the message. That's why they did that. And that there were that this was set apart for something different. And the mass, which I didn't understand because it was in Spanish and Latin, apparently, didn't understand. Yet I knew something different was going on here, and he was taken by it. Now, hopefully he didn't join the Roman Catholic Church. But the point is, I think he's just one of many. A growing number of young people who they don't want Wombaland. They don't want, they can get dopey anywhere. They can run off to an amusement park or the go-kart park, or they can just do it on their TV and on their phone. They're looking for something different. So Pastor, you got to know, young people are looking for it. You might struggle with the demographic of younger parents with younger kids. That is true. But maybe educating those parents, I want you to know, we're not going to treat your child like a child. We're going to have higher expectations for your child because we want to help you, mom and dad, to bring them up to a level of maturity that surpasses that of their peers, because we think that these things will do that for them. So you might get some complaints from the kids. We encourage you, just keep bringing them, just keep bringing them, keep bringing them, and you'll notice a change in them and you. But Pastor, that might not fly. And you might not see those big numbers from that particular demographic. So I would encourage you, do what you think God wants you to do in church. And if you fully believe, I guess, that God wants us to amuse children, well, amuse away. But if you think that we are called to disciple them and train them and teach them and to bring them into adulthood as quickly as possible, then carry on. You will find those who are very interested, old and young alike. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. It's a text. Todd, is it permissible to use a Bible verse out of context for the purpose of encouraging school teachers?
No. No.
I thought I was going to be wrong. No.
You can't justify misusing a Bible verse. That would be pragmatism. So that would be a great big no-go. And besides, if it's not true, if it's not being truly applied, it won't really encourage them. It'll potentially feel like a fortune cookie and, oh, that's nice. Yes. But it doesn't have the power because it's not right. A Bible verse has to be applied rightly for it to do the convicting or convincing or conforming work that it is designed to do. So short answer is no. Long answer is no. 877-282-2337.
This is from Mary. And Todd, I hear you say smallo Orthodox all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
I mean, not the Eastern Orthodox Church. Capital O Orthodox would be any of the Eastern religions. Which, by the way, Jimmy, this is something I did not know about the Eastern Orthodox Church. Guess who they believe got saved? It's a Bible person who got saved and then became a saint along with his wife. Can you guess? They.
No.
What are we talking about?
I'm lost.
Eastern Orthodoxy. The Eastern Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
They think that Pontius Pilate got saved and he became a saint. And his wife, Procla, I believe. It was like Gladys of Procula. Procla is the short. Now, is there any historical support for that? No, there's not. There, I think about 5th century, there was some rumor got spread. There's no evidence that he got saved. And there's certainly no reason to think that somehow he's a canonized saint because, well, anybody who's born again is actually a Saint Pontius Pilate. We don't know what happened to him. He either committed suicide, but the Eastern, or he became a believer, or just he died a miserable wretch of a man because he was a man deformed by sin. He was a man who showed the effects of being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. He knew Jesus was innocent. What did he choose? Political expediency. The man was a coward. You want to know what sin does to somebody? Look at Pontius Pilate. Did he get saved? Well, I hope so. Should he be esteemed as a saint? No, no more than anybody else who has become a saint because of Jesus Christ. If you want to know who a saint is, the answer is anybody who's repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Eastern Orthodoxy, capital O, small O Orthodoxy is just you are Orthodox in the Christian verities, especially the essentials. There's a big difference. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.